housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
You are listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and hopefully why they're are going to be the views of Brian Rossner, who's going to be talking today with us about Lyme disease. Now, most Americans really don't understand Lyme disease. There are probably about 1 million Americans that have this affliction. Certainly, there's a great deal to suggest that this is a biologically created genetic warfare, a germ warfare type of agent that was actually produced at a place called Plum Island, which is just across the inlet from Lyme, Connecticut, where the disease was first identified. But I'm going to let Brian tell you about this because he knows a lot about it, a lot more than I ever will, because, of course, he's been afflicted with Lyme disease, although I think he's doing fairly well. Brian, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Stan.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and why you got involved with the Lyme disease controversy?
Sure. Well, you mentioned that I myself have suffered from Lyme disease in the past, which is true, but I also have a background in journalism, and after having spent about $100,000 on treatments for Lyme disease myself, going down pretty much every path that you can imagine, I decided that it made sense to turn my journalism career toward Lyme disease. And you mentioned the misconceptions about Lyme disease. That really is the main theme of Lyme disease. It is a bacterial infection. But most people just put it in the category of other bacterial infections like strep throat. Strep throat's just a simple bacterial infection that you take a few days of antibiotics and it's over. And most people make the mistake of believing Lyme disease is the same thing. And in fact, there are many aspects of Lyme disease that are quite complicated and can lead to a lot of sick people not getting a proper diagnosis. I was one of those sick people, and I naively believed that some simple interventions would cure me, and they did not. So I had to learn the hard way, and my goal is to prevent as many people as I can from having to learn the hard way and spread as much education as we possibly can.
And of course, Brian's written a couple of books, and we're actually going to be carrying at least two of them, and I will tell you later how to get in touch with his website. But it's so vitally important that people understand this is an infection. But unfortunately, many, many doctors, or the vast majority of the doctors, don't know what to do if you don't have the readily available blood test. And, of course, many of the people who actually have Lyme disease will be negative on their blood tests, and yet they still have this terrible affliction. And, of course, one of the difficulties is that many of the medical boards will actually go after doctors who are treating this disease, saying it's quackery, and yet it's a very real problem. Have you run into that at all, Brian?
Yeah, in fact, let's back up just one step here. You're mentioning blood tests, but one thing that we have to talk about is that many listeners, I imagine, on this show are in California. Most of the doctors in California do not even believe that Lyme disease exists here in California. I live in California. I contracted the disease in California. And in fact, there is a high number of Lyme disease cases in California. The next problem you have, though, if you get Lyme disease, is that the doctors who are trained to look for it will assume that people who have it have certain characteristics. They'll assume that you have what's called a bullseye rash, where the tick attaches to your body. That's how you get Lyme disease, typically, is a tick bite. But believe it or not, up to 50% of people never even get the bullseye rash. So if they go to their doctor's office and they say, hey, look, I went camping, you know, along the river somewhere and I feel sick, the doctor will say, did you get a bullseye rash? The patient may say no, and they won't even test for Lyme disease. So that's a big problem, is that doctors don't even know to look for it. Another problem is that the ticks that transmit Lyme disease, the type of tick that's most likely to transmit the disease is what we call a nymph tick, and that's the baby tick that's about the size of the head of a pin, and it's transparent in color. So you may never even know that you got bit by a tick.
Hold that stuff right there.
Sure.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
It is now time to rein in evil and bring them to justice. Through the authority that has been delegated to us, it is time to destroy the destroyers. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million, the vast majority of the population of the U.S. Though the people of the U.S., where their numbers and influence are strongest, have primary responsibility for reining them in and bringing them to justice, all nations will participate since they reside the world over. They are called Illuminati, elite, proponents of the New World Order. They oppose everything that is God and truth. They are of the line that was disinherited 2,000 years ago. Everything they have built over the centuries, the wealth they have accumulated, the power they have established, the poisoning of the masses, the destruction of the earth and mankind, we will undo through the authority that has now been delegated to us. Visit our website at unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com. The message of his kingdom.
Warning! The EPA states indoor air pollution is the number one health problem today, causing 50% of all illnesses. Go to germfree33.com. Technology developed for NASA is now available to protect your family and health. Laboratory proven to eliminate 99.9% of deadly MRSA, black mold, E. coli, bird flu, and more from all surfaces. Germfree33.com. Remove pollen, mold, pet dander, dust mites, and more from the air. Germfree33.com. World's best air purifiers. Nothing else compares. Germfree33.com. No expensive filters to replace. Covers 3,000 square feet. See the proof at germfree33.com. Order from our secure website. Credit cards accepted. Order by phone. 800-492-1073. Payment plans available. 800-492-1073. Germfree33.com. The world's best air purifiers.
Patients back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Brian was just saying that many of the doctors really don't know too much about Lyme disease because they've been dependent on the medical journals, and somebody's been very carefully censoring the medical journals and the medical meetings. But there's a group of physicians known as Lyme Literate, do you call them LMD, is that
right.
It? Go right ahead, Bob.
These doctors are called LLMD, which stands for Lyme Literate Medical Doctor. And if you do find out that you have Lyme disease, which does exist in California, by the way, you would want to absolutely make sure that you see a Lyme-literate medical doctor and not just your local doctor down the street, even if you're good friends with your local doctor or he's been treating you for years. But, you know, this disease, there's so many challenges facing us, and even if you get that far, one of the other challenges is to the doctors, the LLMDs, actually have incredible restrictions being placed right now on what kind of treatments they can use. You can read more about these restrictions at my website, which is limebook.com. It's LYMEBOOK.com. I have a whole list, but there's basically two different organizations as Dr. Stan mentioned. One is called the Infectious Disease Society of America, the IDSA, and they do not believe in chronic Lyme disease or chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia, and they really control the insurance company money. The other group of physicians is the one that I would say that I'm in that camp, and that is ILADS, I-L-A-D-S, which is International Lyme and Associated Diseases Society. And these are the physicians who have really done their homework and looked at the science and seen that chronic Lyme disease was, in fact, proved to be real in the 1980s, the early 1980s. And so there's this constant tension right now going on between ILADS and the IDSA, where the physicians who treat chronic Lyme disease are always a little bit worried about getting in trouble with medical boards, but on the other hand, they're saving the lives of their patients, so it's sort of this very difficult tension, and it's really created what I would refer to as a perfect storm in the media recently. The Lyme disease controversy has just in the last 2 months, reached some very major media outlets, CNN, ABC, Good Morning America. And so the good news is that the public is really now beginning to focus on Lyme disease as a real issue. Many people don't know that Lyme disease is, in fact, the fastest spreading infectious disease in the country. It's spreading faster than AIDS, than malaria, than West Nile. All of these buzzword diseases that people hear about, you know, West Nile and that type of thing, those really are not the main problem. The main problem is Lyme disease. Lyme disease can be misdiagnosed as a number of other seemingly unrelated medical conditions. I just published a book with Tammy Duncan, was my co-author. She's the founder of an autism foundation. And believe it or not, now they have found conclusive evidence that Lyme disease can mimic autism, and many autistic children actually are suffering from Lyme disease. Now, of course, not all autistic children are. There can be a lot of different trigger factors for autism. But one of them is Lyme disease, so that's just another area where we're dealing with quite a bit of confusion and misunderstanding. And about 25% of autistic children, when they get placed on Lyme disease treatment, they get better. It's just that simple. So it's quite interesting what's taking place now.
Even if autism was related to mercury, mercury can decrease the immune system response and leave this child open to these chronic infections. You mentioned that the disease can be sexually transmitted.
Yes, and by the way, that's precisely correct, the relationship you just stated between mercury and Lyme disease. That is one of the current theories with autism, is that the mercury exposure will leave the child's immune system more vulnerable. But yes, Lyme disease can be sexually transmitted, and this is just another factor that leads to the confusion, and many people who may have received it from a spouse or, you know, a partner that has Lyme disease, if they start to come down with chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia, they may never even suspect Lyme disease. Their doctor may never suspect it. So even more important than the problems that I would tell you about with treating Lyme disease, even more important is really the problems with diagnosis, and all the way down from suspecting Lyme disease, which many people don't do, to the proper tests. Up to 50% of Lyme disease tests can be false negatives, meaning that even if you have it, the test result would be negative. So it's very important for listeners out there to, you know, if you are or know somebody who is suffering from fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome, you know, nobody's saying that that person has Lyme disease for sure, but there is a good chance that they might, and it would be very prudent. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose to go down that road and explore that option with a Lyme literate medical doctor. Again, a complete list of the symptoms and the misconceptions about Lyme disease can be found on my website at lymebook.com.
Well, of course, does some of these people get a chronic diarrhea at all?
Chronic diarrhea, you know, Lyme disease can actually influence the gastrointestinal tract. It's not as common as other symptoms of Lyme disease, such as joint pain and muscle soreness and neurological symptoms. But one of the bigger problems seen with the gastrointestinal tract is that if somebody is placed on long-term antibiotic treatment, everybody knows that antibiotics disrupt the flora or the bacteria in the gut. And people know that even for a course of antibiotics as short as 10 days. Now, can you imagine the type of devastation that people are experiencing when they're taking these antibiotics for 6, 9, 12 months I mean, their guts just literally get destroyed. So in sometimes the bacteria can even come back after that amount of time. We should dedicate a little bit of time on the show to talk about the chronic form of Lyme disease, which is actually antibiotic resistant. It actually balls up into a little what we call a cyst form. It just sits there and is completely impenetrable to antibiotics, even for up to a year. And then when the antibiotics are discontinued, this cyst form reemerges into an active bacterial infection. But now the patient is even worse off because their body has been weakened and their immune system has been devastated by 12 months of antibiotics. So, you know, the picture that I'm painting here is quite a dismal picture of a disease that is very difficult to diagnose, is much more prevalent than people realize, and treatments that can really, you know, wipe out your immune system. And I don't want to just paint a hopeless picture, because over my 4 years of researching Lyme disease full-time, I have encountered a great degree of information that is very hopeful, both alternative and conventional treatments that really do offer people their lives back and have been getting people quite good results. Again, a lot of that literature is available in the books that I sell through my website, as well as that Dr. Stan sells on his. My website is LymeBook.com.
Well, what about antibiotics? Would you take it orally? Would you take it intravenously?
Sure. The Centers for Disease Control, the standard recommendation for an acute stage 1 case of Lyme disease is 10 days of oral doxycycline. And in many cases, that does work. If you catch it early and if the immune system is strong, a great majority of people do get well on that course. Now, most of the oral antibiotics, oral tetracyclines, oral macrolides, and oral cephalosporins, do not penetrate the blood-brain barrier. So in the event that the bacteria does cross the blood-brain barrier into the neurological system, which is quite common, and that's why a lot of Lyme disease sufferers manifest with schizophrenia, depression, brain fog, memory loss, and that type of thing, you do need to then move to intravenous antibiotics, which will reach the brain, because those types of antibiotics do cross the blood-brain barrier. Of course, once you move to the intravenous antibiotics, not only are you exposing yourself to what I was talking about earlier, which is that devastation that occurs with those long-term antibiotics, but also 6 or 9 months of intravenous antibiotics is quite inconvenient. You know, you have a needle in your arm, you're constantly being monitored by the doctor, you're probably going to miss a lot of work if you can even work at all. It's very expensive and often not covered by insurance, and it can be, you know, just quite an unpleasant experience. So one of the areas of research that I've focused on is finding treatments that are sustainable, meaning that over the long haul, if a person needs to use them for 6 or 9 months, they can be used affordably, and they can be used with relatively low toxic side effects, and most importantly, in my mind, is conveniently, because people with Lyme disease, at least for me, you don't want to spend 3 days a week and $1,000 a week at your doctor's office. You want to try to live a normal life as possible. And my most recent book, The Top 10 Lyme Disease Treatments, that was one of the main focuses of my research, was not just which treatments work, but which treatments work sustainably and in a way that somebody can do affordably and conveniently and safely for the long haul.
Well, let's start out. Certainly the patient is going to be chronically ill, and they're going to have a myriad of symptoms because they tend to mimic all sorts of other things. Joint pain is an important part of it, chronic fatigue, mental abnormalities. But how do you make the diagnosis that this person is chronically ill? Do they have an elevated temperature? Do they have an elevated sedimentation rate? Are they anemic? What sort of tests are they going to do that's going to tip the doctor off this might be Lyme disease?
Right. Well, there are certain diseases that the medical establishment refers to with regard to the diagnosis process as a clinical diagnosis, which means that the fancy blood tests of Western medicine that we're so proud of in developed civilization, that those tests aren't really worth very much because they just don't work all that well with Lyme disease. So Lyme disease is a clinical diagnosis, and that means that a wise and experienced and insightful practitioner will carefully review someone's past, their exposure to ticks, their symptoms, and they will make what we call a clinical diagnosis. Now, one of the most surefire ways to make that diagnosis in the event that, false negative laboratory tests are given is what we call a therapeutic trial. And a therapeutic trial is where you give somebody who you suspect has Lyme disease, you might not even know they have Lyme disease, but you suspect it, and the physician would give them a trial course of Lyme disease treatment, and they would observe how they respond. In general, people with Lyme disease, when they first start treatment, they have what is called a die-off reaction. Its technical name is a Herxheimer reaction. It's kind of a fancy word, but it's just the name of the scientist who discovered it. And that reaction is, as the bacteria are dying, they are releasing toxins and creating inflammation, and so you get worse before you get better. So when somebody who you suspect...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
I am at a gathering of friends, minding my own business, when one of our buddies, Bob, walks up to me, very concerned, and he says, "Wow, have you seen the gasoline prices lately?" And I said, "Oh, of course. Woo, they're high." He says, "Yeah." He says, "What am I going to do? I've got a truck. There's no way that anybody's going to buy my truck in this market. I really need the truck for my job. It uses more gas than I can afford. I've got to find a way to come up with some extra money. I got a wife with four kids at home. I don't know what to do." I said, "Bob, relax. I know what to do. Call eFoodsDirect.com or go up on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. They will deliver food, really good, high-quality, nutritional, delicious food to your door now, right there in front of your house, for about half the price that you were paying for groceries last year. You can take the savings from that, offset the cost of your fuel, and use it to buy more inexpensive food to hedge against tomorrow's increasing food prices. Why don't you do that, Bob?" He said, "eFoodsDirect.com." I said, "Yep, call them at 1-800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. Do it now.
Have you ever suffered from Giardia, food poisoning, heavy metal poisoning, arthritis, fatigue, or high cholesterol? Maybe you're one of the 75 million Americans that the Center for Disease Control reports is suffering from internal parasites. If so, Freshwater Organics is proud to introduce you to a million-year-old miracle that has been used all over the world by health-conscious individuals seeking alternatives to chemicals and drugs. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, is a 100% natural, organic product with absolutely no additives. When taken daily, it is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Many believe it is the key to a healthy digestive tract. To find an FPP distributor near you, or to buy it now online, go to www.freshwaterorganics.com. You can also call toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Brian was simply saying that most of the doctors who are LLMDs, that's Lyme-literate medical doctors, have had someone in their family, or perhaps they themselves contracted this, and then they went from doctor to doctor to doctor, and certainly I'm not demeaning doctors, you know, I've been in that same sense of a situation myself, but this is something you don't ordinarily think about, and maybe we're going to have to think about it a lot more commonly, especially when we begin to realize, of course, the background of the creation of chronic diseases, and anybody who doesn't believe that there's an effort to create chronic diseases, only to go back and read the book written in 1970 by Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is, of course, the National Security Advisor to Jimmy Carter, and, of course, is currently the foreign policy advisor to a man named Barack Hussein Obama. Isn't it interesting? But 1970, we're talking about 38 years ago, Brzezinski wrote a book called Between Two Ages, America and the Technotronic Age. And there, on one of the footnotes on page somewhere between 55 and 65, he talks about how in the future we're going to be able to create storms and droughts and chronic diseases. Why would anybody want to create chronic diseases? We know, for instance, Dr. David MacArthur testifying before the House Appropriations Committee in 1969. We have his testimony. He talks about how they're going to create a new disease for which there would be no immune response and these chronic disabling diseases. And, of course, he wanted $10 million. They gave it to him, and 10 years later, 69, about 79, 80, the first cases of, well, of Lyme disease and of chronic fatigue disease and of fibromyalgia and of AIDS, all of these things appeared about the same time. Have you ever thought about that? Isn't it an interesting situation, Brian? So many of these diseases occurred, developed at the same time?
Yes, you know, I have thought about that in the advent of Lyme disease, you know, the onset of it happening when it did. It is very interesting, but due to my current role in the Lyme disease community, you know, I tend to try to remain as unbiased as I can on those issues. Not that I don't have an opinion on them, but, you know, I'm really out here to help Lyme patients, and I don't want to slow down that mission by you know, getting too deep into that kind of a thought process.
And I think that's very wise from your point of view. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, so where we were going with that discussion, you know, I think it's really important for people to realize that most doctors will tell people who come into their office that they aren't really sick, and they'll send them out the door, and they'll say that you're a hypochondriac. They'll send them to a psychiatrist. They've even coined a term called yuppie flu, which they say, you know, these poor rich people who are bored have nothing better to do than to make up illnesses. And, you know, it's interesting, the Infectious Disease Society of America has their head stuck so far into the sand that they, instead of actually acknowledging chronic Lyme disease, they made up a bogus term, and they tell people who have chronic Lyme disease that they have something called post-Lyme syndrome. They won't acknowledge that they have Lyme disease. They say, no, you don't have Lyme disease. We say that you have post-Lyme syndrome, and what that basically does is it makes the person completely helpless and hopeless because, you know, post-Lyme syndrome is not a treatable or real condition, so now the people can't get, you know, insurance coverage, they can't get doctors to recognize them, and that's why, you know, I was saying that many physicians who do acknowledge chronic Lyme disease, and the number is growing, pretty soon they're going to outnumber the physicians that don't, but these physicians often have experience with Lyme disease, but you know, I think we should talk a little bit about some of the alternative treatments that are beneficial for Lyme disease.
You go now, right ahead.
Sure. When I say alternative treatments, I don't mean that these should replace conventional treatments. I think it's very destructive for people to say, you know, alternative medicine is the only way to go. You know, these conventional doctors, that's just not true. You know, I think of alternative medicine and conventional medicine as two different tools in the same toolbox, and they're both valuable and they're both valid. If I broke my leg, please take me to a conventional doctor. I'd like to go to the emergency room. I don't want to go to an herbalist. But when it comes to Lyme disease, if the long-term antibiotics fail and if people are still sick, then there is a place for alternative treatments. And there's basically a couple of different things that we try to accomplish. Number one is Lyme disease can only stay in the body when the conditions are right, when the body is sick. And so one of the things that people try to do, alternative practitioners will recommend that people you know, obviously clean up their diets and, you know, rest and a low-stress lifestyle, but those are by no means enough. They're just the beginning. One of the main treatments that we do is detoxification. The Lyme disease bacteria produces a very nasty byproduct, a neurotoxin, that stays and sort of attaches itself to the fat in the body. It's a fat-soluble toxin. So detoxification, such as sauna therapy, herbal diets and, you know, juice fasting and that kind of a thing, really do help to get this neurotoxin out of the body, and that really allows people to feel a lot better. Another treatment that is commonly used is called a systemic enzyme.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Every 22 seconds, a violent crime is committed. Are you concerned about your personal safety? Why wait for something bad to happen when you can take action now? Be smart. Be safe. Trust pepper spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web, including mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Pepperspray.com is proud to feature Saber brand Pink Ribbon Pepper Spray. For every Saber Pink Ribbon Pepper Spray sold, a donation will be made to the National Breast Cancer Foundation. Enter the word pepper in the coupon box and you'll receive 10% off your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to Pepperspray.com. That's Pepperspray.com or call 1-800-908-9988. Call today.
Did you know that pH balance is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 9 or higher. Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals and elements. This product is a one-of-a-kind in its strength and effectiveness. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline while helping you get rid of acid and regaining your health and energy. With just 10 drops, you can raise the pH level of the water you drink up to the pH of 10. Alkalizing water helps the body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-344-3420 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Brian was just telling us about the various treatments. He mentioned sauna treatment. He thinks that this is very important to get rid of toxins. And he was mentioning certain enzyme treatments and certain products. And, of course, this is all listed in his book, which is titled The Top 10 Lyme Disease Treatments, which we are going to be carrying. That's the top 10 Lyme disease treatments. It's important that this information is available. We're going to be carrying his other book on certainly on Lyme disease and autism, and down the line we may very well carry all of his books. But right now we want to see if we have a real demand for them. And I would think that we really would, especially in the area where we live, where, of course, Lyme disease is endemic. It's in our deers and it's in our deer ticks. Now, before we go on, Brian, I want you to get out your website and your telephone number so if people want to get in touch with you, they'd know how to do it.
Sure, yeah. On my website, we have about 20 different Lyme disease educational resources, including books and DVDs, and there is quite a bit of free information there just to browse. The website is pretty easy to remember. It's just lymebook.com, spelled LymeBook.com. That's www.lymebook.com. And if you do want to order any of those products, and if you don't have a computer or don't want to do it on the Internet, you can call Biomed Publishing Group, 530-541-7200. That's 530-541-7200. So you can go to limebook.com or call us at 530-541-7200.
All right, very good. Well, let's get back to the treatments. You've already covered certainly the sauna and the importance of everybody, of course, sweating out these toxins, which are an important part of helping people. And then, of course, the enzyme treatments would seem to get into the system and certainly digest some of the unwanted products there, autoimmune complexes. So what else would there be?
Sure. One of the most exciting discoveries that I made during my research, and probably the single piece of information that makes that is worth talking about, that's really a breakthrough, is the discovery that I made with some fellow researchers that really the key to the long-term management of Lyme disease, of course, this is my opinion. There are people that would disagree with me, but in my opinion, the key is to not completely disregard or throw away the pharmaceutical antibiotic treatments, but instead to use them sparingly and to take breaks from the pharmaceutical antibiotics to allow the body to recover. Of course, then the obvious question is, well, what do you do about the bacteria that is coming back as you take these breaks? How do you deal with that? Well, that's the whole point of my book, The Top 10 Lyme Disease Treatments, is that you can use various alternatives to antibiotics. Herbal antibiotics, such as olive leaf extract, cimento, which is a type of TOA-free cat's claw, sarsaparilla, and a few other substances, grapefruit seed extract, and you can sort of rotate back and forth between the pharmaceutical antibiotics and the natural antibiotics. And it wasn't until I started doing this that I really started to notice a lot of improvement. And also my medical bills started getting a whole lot smaller, and my side effects went down because I wasn't on these drugs all the time. And I thought to myself, this is interesting that there's a way to deal with the long-term chronic Lyme disease without having to expose the body to the harsh effects of long-term antibiotics. Now,
certainly oil of oregano or garlic or elderberry juice or things like echinacea, would those fit into that category?
Yes, everything you listed would. There's dozens of them, of these natural antibiotics or non-pharmaceutical antibiotics. You know, my book by no means exhausts the list of them. I think the list of the antibiotics is the easy thing to find. The difficult thing is people say, well, what do I do with this list? You know, do I take them all at the same time? Do I completely avoid the pharmaceuticals? What do I do? And so that's the model that I'm sort of trying to establish, is that, you know, when people hear about these natural antibiotics through Dr. Stan or through, you know, the Internet or whatever, you know, how do they integrate them into the treatment program? And that's really what my book, The Top 10 Lyme Disease Treatments, is about. It's about, okay, I have these top 10 treatments. Now what do I do with them? There are way too many books out there in websites and information that says, okay, this is a new breakthrough treatment, and people are left scratching their head saying, okay, well, how do I integrate that into all the other treatments that I'm already doing? You know, where does it fit in? And so that's one thing that I really tried to tackle.
Well, are you really doing pretty well yourself now? I mean, how long did you actually have the Lyme disease before you were able to come up with some effective treatments?
Sure. I believe that I've had it for quite some time. I attended college on the central coast of California in San Luis Obispo at Cal Poly, their business school there.
Sure.
And I was on the mountain bike team down there, and we were constantly camping out, you know, before races and hanging out. And I had ticks all over me all the time, and just like the average person, I didn't know that was a big deal. And early in my college time, I started to develop very decentralized general symptoms, and it turned out to be Lyme disease. I didn't get diagnosed until almost 10 years later. But I did have it for quite some time before I figured out that's what was wrong.
Okay, fine. Of course, it really is so disabling. I know many of the young people going to college really sometimes they even have to drop out because of this. Well, under any circumstances. Now, what about you? You've talked in the past about the Rife machine, and maybe you would like to tell the listeners a little bit about Royal Rife, what he came up with, and where his machine, which, of course, has been totally frowned upon by the government. Oh, my goodness, we couldn't have anything that would actually treat people or treat these chronic diseases. We're going to outlaw, we're going to make it a criminal activity to get something like that because we're from the government and we want to protect you. So, what is the who was Raymond Royal Rife? What did he come up with? And of course, is it effective today in any way with these chronic disease syndromes?
Sure, and I realize I didn't answer your question of how I'm doing today. Right now, 4 years ago, I was completely bedridden and I wasn't working, and I was very sick. Today, I would say I'm about 90% better. Lyme disease is very difficult to eradicate permanently from the body, but I consider my current health quite a victory because I don't rely on doctors. I don't spend a whole lot of money on treatment, and I live a very normal life. I work full-time. I have a family. We travel. We do normal things. I do still keep up with many of the treatments in my books, and I still need to do those to stay well, but I'm just at a very minimal level of doing them. I hardly need them at all anymore, and so each and every year I look back at the year before and I get better and better, so that's quite a victory with a chronic disease like this now.
Well, now, one of the things that, of course, what did this do to your mind? I mean, were you able to think where you've had this feeling of being chronically foggy, not being able to concentrate? What did it do as far as your mental ability was concerned?
Oh, it was completely devastating. I mean, I had so many of the textbook symptoms of what we call neuropsychiatric Lyme disease. I was basically a walking vegetable. I was depressed. I couldn't remember. I mean, I was a pretty intelligent person, very capable of math and that type of thing, and it completely wiped me out. I couldn't read. I couldn't think. I couldn't remember. I once drove to Reno for a doctor's appointment, and I got there, and I couldn't remember why I was there, so I drove home. I mean, that's a real story. So it really is devastating. There's a lot of research and information on Lyme disease mimicking mental disorders such as multiple sclerosis and schizophrenia, autism, as we've talked about, obsessive compulsive disorder, bipolar disorder. Once this bacteria gets into the brain, it's not hard to imagine what an active bacterial infection would do to the brain. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that's bad news. So back to your question about the Rife machine, that is one of the treatments that I talk about in my book, The Top 10 Lyme Disease Treatments. And the Rife machine was invented by a man named Dr. Royal Raymond Rife in the 1930s. As Dr. Stan mentioned, it's controversial why his invention just disappeared off the face of the planet, whether it was suppressed actively by government or whether it was suppressed by business interests because penicillin came out at about the same time. There are all of those theories floating around, but essentially what a Rife machine is it exposes the body, your whole body, to electromagnetic frequencies in an electromagnetic field, and the frequencies are tuned in such a way that they destroy certain microorganisms, but they do not destroy your healthy body tissue. And if that sounds like a Star Trek episode, and if it sounds like fiction, I can completely understand why you would feel that way. That's how it sounded to me for a long time. In fact, I didn't even research it for a few years because it just sounded too off the wall. But it turns out that it really helped me, and it's helping quite a few different people that hundreds, actually even thousands. I have a online discussion group where we discuss just specifically the topic of Rife treatment for Lyme disease. There are 2,400 members on that group now, so that's quite a large pool of experiences, and the general consensus among all those people is that it is very helpful. Is it a cure for Lyme disease? I'm not prepared to say that. Is it extremely helpful, and did it save my life? Absolutely. Now, one of the difficult tasks that Lyme sufferers are faced with is choosing which machine to get. Should they build their own machine? And that would be a question for a whole different interview hour. There would be quite a bit of information that we would talk about with that. But as Dr. Stan mentioned, that I've written four books on Lyme disease. One of the books that I have written focuses just on that question. The book is called Lyme Disease and Rice Machines, and it looks into the technology and you know, how someone would acquire a machine, how it's used. Again, rice technology is experimental at this stage in the game, and it should only be used under the supervision of a licensed physician, but it is something that I have found tremendously beneficial.
All right, fine. Well, that would be a subject, an entirely different subject. I know people have used it for many, many purposes, and some people swear by this. And, of course, they're Royal Raymond Wright was a brilliant fellow. He wasn't a physician at all. I don't know where he got his training, but he came up with a microscope that was so far in advance to anything they had in the 1930s. He came up with his machine. And, of course, he was dutifully raided by the government, and they shut him down. They destroyed his equipment and machines because apparently there were people out there who had a different vision of how medicine was going to be practiced. And if you had something that was effective, why, it was suppressed in those days. And many of these things are suppressed today. If those of us who have heard my talk with Dr. Brzezinski, read our book that we had, the book's out of print on Brzezinski Breakthrough, but certainly we have a four-tape set of his treatments for cancer. They've been actively suppressed by our government. Why would you suppress something that was effective and would save the lives of people? Well, that's a good question. Anyway, of course, suddenly, what are some of the other treatments that you'd like to talk about in the remaining time that we have, about 10 minutes?
Sure. Another one of the treatments that a lot of people are finding very beneficial is what we call the Marshall Protocol. And this was a treatment that I had a hard time getting my mind around in the beginning. It's actually quite contrary to established wisdom. And what it says is that people with Lyme disease have too much vitamin D in their body, and that vitamin D actually gets converted to an immunosuppressive hormone similar to steroids. And this, you know, the reason I say it's contrary to popular wisdom is that popular wisdom says that vitamin D is good. It prevents cancer. It does all of these great things, which is all true. However, in the bodies of somebody with Lyme disease, the vitamin D gets converted by the bacteria into a hormone that we have way too much of in our bodies as Lyme sufferers. So the Marshall Protocol is a treatment that addresses that vitamin D level. And this treatment is gaining tremendous acceptance and popularity throughout the world for a number of different diseases which involve cell wall deficient bacteria. And so that's a treatment that a lot of people might want to consider. Again, that is discussed in my book, The Top 10 Lyme Disease Treatments. Keep in mind that the Marshall Protocol is a treatment that you do need a physician to supervise, because it does require a couple of different pharmaceuticals, but that's something that I have had a lot of benefit from, and I've researched quite a bit. Something that would be good to dedicate a little bit of time to would be to talk a little bit more about the different forms of Lyme disease bacteria, and this will help people understand a little bit about why this disease is so complicated. Most bacteria are very simple organisms, and they sort of stay that way. A lot of scientists have observed that Lyme disease bacteria behave more like larger organisms, larger, more intelligent, more adaptive, more flexible organisms. And in fact, Lyme disease bacteria are capable of what we call pleomorphism, which means that they can change into multiple different forms under different stress circumstances. And this, by the way, is not theory, or, you know, this is not something that I've discovered. This has been known for decades, and it's been published in journals, you know, mainstream peer-reviewed journals. And so, you know, an example would be a cell wall inhibiting antibiotic is a common antibiotic used. There's an antibiotic called Rocephin, and it inhibits bacterial cell walls. And this works for most bacteria because once their cell walls are inhibited, they die and they have no recourse. However, what Lyme disease bacteria do when they're exposed to an antibiotic like cephalosporin or, you know, a cell wall inhibiting antibiotic is they simply shed their cell walls, and they go into a form that we call cell wall deficient bacteria. And then you say, okay, well, let's treat them with a protein synthesis inhibiting antibiotic, which should work for most cell wall deficient bacteria. And then what happens, again, the Lyme disease bacteria can shift its form, and this time what it does is it goes into a form that we call the cyst form, and the reason we call it a cyst is because it looks like a little rolled-up ball, and it has a protective biofilm around it that is completely impenetrable to antibiotics. And this is the form that can last for 6 months, 9 months, even longer, even when it's being treated by antibiotics. So then what you have is you have people taking all of these different drugs to try to hit all these different forms, you know, the spirochete form and the cell wall deficient form, and in the meantime, the bacteria are just hanging out in the body waiting until the antibiotics are stopped, and then they come back with a vengeance. So this is sort of the open door into the alternative treatments that I've been talking about, in order to address the cell wall deficient bacteria and the cyst form bacteria. One cannot simply rely on just those antibiotics, and that's why there is room for, the top 10 Lyme disease treatments. People say, well, why do you need 10? Is that some kind of a gimmick? Well, no, you do need multiple approaches because the bacteria can take on multiple forms and has multiple different effects on the body, So we talked about needing detoxification. We talked about needing nutritional support. There's a lot of controversy out there about the calcium-magnesium balance in the body. Most people think that you need calcium, take calcium. Calcium is what will make you healthy. It's actually, in a lot of cases, not true. Most people are, first of all, calcium and magnesium compete for the same binding sites in the intestinal tract, for the same uptake sites. So if you take too much calcium, you're going to prevent magnesium from being absorbed, and many people already are deficient in magnesium. It turns out that Lyme disease makes people extremely deficient in magnesium, so that's one treatment, one way that people can experience quite a bit of benefit. I've talked.
Hold that thought, Brian. We'll be right back with Brian Rosner.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Just intracellular infections, aren't they?
Yeah, they are chronic, and once they get inside those cells of the body, the immune system is just pretty helpless. The white blood cells, themselves can actually get infected with Lyme disease, and then you have the good guy who's supposed to be doing the fighting, and he's actually infected with the bacteria, and that can create just a lot of chaos inside the body.
And of course, Brian is actually well aware of the work of our good friend Dr. Garth Nicholson dealing with these chronic intracellular infections. They're so important that people understand, and they're really very, very poorly understood and very hard to diagnose, but they are creating terrible, terrible diseases in so many people across America today. Well, Brian, you're going to get me that name of that fellow. You're going to email that to me so we can get the head of the Lyme literate doctors onto our program.
Yeah, I do have a list for you of some contacts that would be great to have on your show. And the word really does need to get out there about these problems, so I'd be happy to send you along that information.
I would appreciate it if you would, because we'll be trying to get you onto our Saturday program as well. That goes to about 39 stations, and of course, it really will impact on a lot of people. So if you'll give me that list, and then of course, we let our people know, we actually asked my secretary today to start to order at least a few of your books so we can have them on stock here and get them out. Our guest today has been Brian Rosner, and of course, his books the ones that we're going to be carrying, the top 10 Lyme disease treatments, another one on Lyme and autism connection. You have one on what are the latest issue, what are the discoveries in 2008. What's that?
Yeah, we have a new book that we've published because information keeps coming so rapidly. We are publishing an annual newsletter that comes like a little booklet. It's called the 2008 Lyme Disease Annual Report.
All right.
It looks like we're actually going to be doing that every 2 years. 1 year is a pretty tight production schedule, but that has a lot of updated information in it as well.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much. We'll be talking to you later, and bye-bye. Really appreciate you being with us. Our guest has been Brian Rosner, a wealth of information on Lyme disease, and you need to understand that this disease is probably far more prevalent than we really understand. Well, we have a four-tape set on Lyme disease with the people we've talked to in the past. Of course, if you'd like to get a copy of my interviews, we've had two interviews with Brian, and he has a wealth of information. We, of course, will be carrying his book, The Top 10 Lyme Disease Treatments, and then his second other book, The Lyme Autism Connection. And, of course, we're going to be doing other interviews on this subject. We also have a fascinating four-tape or four-CD set, which is a talk that one of the leading scientists in the world gave at our last conference. That was Dr. Garth Nicholson. We titled it The Terrible New Diseases, but we're really talking about these chronic intracellular diseases that Brian is talking about, including Borrelia, which, of course, is Lyme disease, but it involves, certainly brucellosis. It involves chronic chlamydia infection, chronic mycoplasma infection, all these chronic intracellular infections. Of course, many of these are actually man-made. They've been made in laboratories. If you doubt that, you need to get Garth Nicholson's wonderful book, written as faction. In other words, it's fact, but it's written as fiction. It's entitled Project Daylily. That's Project Daylily. So we have Project Daylily. We have certainly the four-tape set on Lyme disease. We actually have the two books we mentioned, the top 10 treatments for Lyme disease and the autism, the Lyme disease connection. And then, of course, we have a book on the miracle of magnesium. Brian was talking about magnesium. I take magnesium. My wife takes magnesium. And, of course, we even carry magnesium in our health products. We think it's important, and you should too, because most people are magnesium deficient, and most people don't understand the importance of magnesium. Why do people get hardening of the arteries and heart attacks? It's because they have too much calcium. And, of course, the last thing you want, of course, is to have an abundance of calcium in your body, and the idea that you're going to take calcium and keep your bones strong is totally fallacious. That calcium, a lot of it's going to go into your arteries and create hardening of the arteries. And if you do not have calcium in your arteries, you're not going to have a heart attack. It has nothing to do, of course, with the level of your cholesterol, the good cholesterol, the bad cholesterol. You need to get our four tapes out on statins. One of the greatest scams in the world has been to get so many people onto the statin drugs, which lower the coenzyme Q10 and, of course, can lead to cancer. But if you believe there are too many people in the world, of course, you'd be pushing something like this. We have the scientific studies on statin drugs, and if you really go into them, you'll find out it's one of the greatest frauds ever perpetrated, but it's been very, very, of course, profitable. They've made literally tens of billions of dollars on the suffering of the American people, and the information is being suppressed. Our four-tape set on statins is so important. We have a great four-CD set on iodine, the importance of iodine. And, of course, we know that people who are iodine deficient, much higher level in women of breast cancer and carcinoma, and men of prostatic cancer. But these are the things that are little known. And how do we put into perspective? Well, let me suggest my talk on None Dare Call It Genocide. None Dare Call It Genocide. And then, of course, my talk on planned population reduction. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and pull down our little talk on the Population Control Agenda Monograph. The Population Control Agenda Monograph. You need to get it. It's as good as anything out there. Well, let me just simply mention, of course, an excellent DVD by Alex Jones. It's called Endgame, and it goes into the Bilderbergers, but it goes into population control. And believe me, there is a population control agenda, which is why, of course, We have so much disease and so much cancer today among the American people. And why has cancer increased from 1 in 33 at the beginning of the last century to 1 in 3 today? I wonder why. Well, you need to get our information on cancer. We have a 4-tape set on cancer, a 4-tape set on genocide.
Once, America was led by real politicians. Now politicians in the U.S., city, county, state, and federal, are owned and controlled by corporations. We have corporate representatives instead of politicians. Criminal corporate manipulation has caused grain prices to soar to the highest levels in history. Shortages of rice, corn, and wheat now exist in most countries. Natural disasters have put millions worldwide at risk of starvation. Food riots and bread lines occur daily in 30 nations, and not only is that list growing, but it's headed this way. Survival Enterprises are master distributors of the highest quality long-term storage food.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.